"This isn't you, Marty," she said, hoping he would blame the tremor in her voice on the cold water. "I know you didn't mean for things to go this far." He nodded in agreement, then tossed the torch back and forth. If only his face would come out of the shadows so she could see his eyes.
"It was an accident," he repeated. "I told you."
I know, she said. "I get it, really, I do. You didn't mean to hurt anyone." She shifted her position again. "No one would blame you, but..."
"But you ran away from me," he finished for her.
"I wasn't running from you," she said. "It was seeing Pike. I got scared, that's all."
Marty let out a long breath. "I wish I could believe you, pet. I really do."
"Marty..."
"You ran, Beth. You were running away when you were in that maintenance guy's car yesterday. Do you think I'm stupid?"
He leaned closer and his face came into the light. With a sly, calculating look in his eyes, there was little trace of the man she knew. This time the shiver that racked her body had nothing to do with the cold.
"No use lying, pet."
Beth didn't want to waste energy crying, but the tears kept coming. Time was running out. She heard it in the fatalistic tone of his voice. No more jitters for Marty. He had made a decision. He was going to hurt her. She could almost feel the violence coming off him and rolling toward her like the mist coming off the lake. "I ran because you wouldn't come with me. This place." She waved a hand at the lake. "It's bad for us. Things have gone wrong from the moment we arrived. What happened with Tracy proves it. It's not you. It's this place." A change came over his expression. He was listening, looking hopeful. That's good, she thought. He was reconsidering his next move. What she needed was time and a little distance. She needed the blood to circulate through her numb limbs so she could run. "If we leave and just go away, things will be better," she continued. "I keep thinking about that day at the river." She forced a smile, and Marty smiled back. It was an unattractive smile that almost put her off track, but she managed to keep going. "Before the wedding, do you remember?" He blinked, and she saw tears in his eyes. If she could keep him talking and find a reason to stand, she'd have a head start. "We were eating oranges, and you said, 'You're my home now.'" She could feel the car keys bunched in her pocket. "Marty, you're my home too. I want us to be like that again." He wiped his eyes with the back of his hand. As he moved, she rolled to her side, then stood. He started to rise, but she held up a hand and signaled for him to stop. "I want us to have a fresh start. Leave everything behind. The house, the business." She turned in a half circle with her arms out. It was a dramatic gesture, but it gave her another couple of meters. "That's the only way it'll work," she continued, and took another step away from him. "I'll ask my mother to take Angel, and then it will just be the two of us again, like it was in the beginning." Still holding the torch, he let his head fall into his hands, and his shoulders shuddered. He was breaking down and sobbing. This might be her only chance.
"You had me for a second,"
he said, then lifted his head, and she saw he wasn't crying, but laughing.
"You went too far with that bit about Angel." He pointed the end of the torch at her. "I'm not an idiot. I know you'd never leave that mutt behind."